ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We can chant together. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhistam Shapritam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Chaitanya Pajakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaguna Ragunatanvitam Taham Sajivam Saidvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaguna Lalita Shri Vishakha Nivitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Turabhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravakta Vindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hare Bol Today we're reading from the fourth canto Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 23 verse number 30 Itam bhutanu bhavosyo Itam bhutanu bhavosyo Pritru sa bhagavatatmaha Pritru sa bhagavatatmaha Kirtitam tascha charitam Kirtitam tasya charitam Udama charitasya te Udama charitasya te Itam bhutanu bhavoso Pritusa bhagavatatmaha Kirtitam tasya charitam Udama charitasya te Itam bhutanu bhavoso Pritu sa bhagavatatmaha Kirtitam tasya charitam Udama charitasya te Itam bhuvana bhavoso Vitusa bhagavatatmaha Kirtitam tasya charitam Udama charitasya te Itam bhutanu bhavoso Vitusa bhagavatatmaha Kirtitam tasya charitam Udama charitasya Itam bhutana bhavaso pitu sa bhagavatatmaha kirtitam tasya charitam bhutana charitasya te uttanam bhutana bhavaso pitu sa bhagavatatmaha kirtitam tasya charitam utama charitasya te. Ladies, itam bhutana bhavaso pitu sa bhagavatama kirtitam tasya charitam udama charitasya te. Itam bhutana bhavaso pitu sa bhagavatmaha pititam tasya charitam vibhana charitasya te. Itam bhuta, thus, anubhava, very great, powerful, aso, that, Prithu, King Prithu, sa, he, Bhagavatama, the best among the lords, kirtitam, described, tasya, his, charitam, character, udama, very great, charitasya, one who possesses such qualities, te, to you. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya continued, the greatest of all devotees, Maharaj Prithu, was very powerful, and his character was liberal, magnificent, and magnanimous. Thus I have described him to you as far as possible. Please repeat. Maitreya continued, the greatest of all devotees, Maharaja Prithu, was very powerful, and his character was liberal, magnificent, and magnanimous. Thus I have described him to you as far as possible. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Bhagavatatama is very significant. For the word Bhagavat is used especially to refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the word Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is derived from the word Bhagavat. Sometimes, however, we see that the word Bhagavan is used for great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Narada Muni. This is the case with Prithu Maharaj, who is described here as the best of the Bhagavans, or the best of the lords. A person can be so addressed only if he is a great personality who exhibits extraordinary and uncommon features, or who attains the greatest goal after his disappearance, or who knows the difference between knowledge and ignorance. In other words, the word Bhagavan should not be used for ordinary persons. Maitreya continued, the greatest of all devotees, Maharaj Prithu, was very powerful, and his character was liberal, magnificent, and magnanimous. Thus I have described him to you as far as possible. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavani Paskatya Desatarine. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So thank you very much. I'm very fortunate to be in Sri Dham Manipur Dham, in the association of so many exalted Vaishnavas. This is Srila Prabhupada's favorite place. This is where he has his room. He did much of his translation work. He started from nothing, and look what is happening. This is all due to his mercy, his potency, and his pure service to his spiritual master, to Krishna. We're very fortunate to be here, and I feel very humbled by this wonderful Sangha of Vaishnavas. So Maharaj Prithu, by hearing his glorification, we become very fortunate ourselves. Therefore, we should always glorify the Acharya. And for us, our Acharya, our most significant Acharya in our lives, is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So by glorifying Prabhupada, all auspiciousness comes into our lives. Actually, it said, Shakshat Daritrena Samasta Sastra, that the spiritual master should be considered as non-indifferent than the Supreme Personality Godhead, because he's the most confidential servant of the Lord. He's not God, but he's the confidential servant of the Lord. Therefore, we should always remember the spiritual master, and at least three times a day, we should offer our humble obeisances to our spiritual master. Sakshat Hari is a very important concept because Krishna speaks to us from our heart, but we should never follow it without it being confirmed by the spiritual master. For example, sometimes people hear a voice in their dream. A voice comes and says, tomorrow morning you will kill your wife. Now, should we go and kill our wife? We should check with the guru first. Everything has to be confirmed by spiritual master. Therefore, you have Chaita Guru and you have the external manifestation, that is the spiritual master. And there's a further level of verification. That is, anyone who claims to be a spiritual master in Krishna consciousness, whether Shikshara Guru or Vartma Pradaksha or whatever, they must correspond in behavior and teaching to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, they are not a guru. They are not a teacher. And that's a very high threshold of responsibility. Therefore, one time Lord Shiva was with his wife, and by the way, Lord Shiva and his wife always have a very sweet and gentle relationship. In fact, the level of their discussions are the most elevated of Vaishnavas. There's pages and pages, hundreds and thousands of pages of their discussions in the Padma Purana, and it's all sweet, it's all nectar. Anyway, Parvati wanted to know who's the best person to worship. So of course, Lord Shiva said, Aradhananam Sarvesam, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Of all the demigods and all personalities, Vishnu is the best to worship. Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachara. But even better is worshiping whatever is connected to Vishnu or Krishna, such as his pure devotee and servant, or even Govardhan or Radhakun, Shamakun, anything in connection to the Lord. So here, I guess she was a little bit surprised. She was expecting him to say that he was the best person, but he made it clear that Lord Vishnu is the best person. But then he said, anyone who's the servant of the Lord is even better. That's why we're trying to serve Prabhupada every day. Our mission in life is to please the spiritual master and masters and engage according to the Vaishnava principles of devotional service, pure devotional service. Therefore it said, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payecha Keva, that only by serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master can we make any spiritual advancement. And unless one serves the spiritual master and the acharyas, they cannot be liberated. Liberated from what? Lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and these type of negative qualities that destroy one's goodness in life. Then again, it says, Tandera charanase bhakta sanivas janami janami hoy he abhilas. I simply want to take birth over and over again in the home or in the association of devotees and engage in their service. Then again, it says that this is my only desire. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Sudabhakata Charanarenu, Bhajana Anukula. Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Prema Latikara Mula. That is, that the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees is the best prasad. And the service of the Vaishnavas itself is the supreme perfection in life. It's the root of the tender plant of devotion. Then again, it says that one time in Los Angeles, there was a controversy, and that was people were reading the Krishna book, and especially those chapters that were dealing with Rasa Leela. And the group was called the Gopi Bhava Club. And this created some kind of a disturbance. And when Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, the leaders of that group met with him. And he asked them, what are you doing? And they said, well, Srila Prabhupada, it says in the Krishna book that one can control material lust by meditating on the intimate pastimes of Krishna. So we're reading those intimate pastimes according to your Krishna book. And we're meditating on this one thing. Prabhupada said, if you want to meditate on one thing, meditate on Guru Padma Vaikya Chitete Kariya Aikya. I want to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from the lotus feet of my spiritual master. And meditate on Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. That without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot get the benediction of Krishna. And without pleasing the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, he said, you just concentrate on following my instructions and don't manufacture your own way. So this is essential in spiritual life, pleasing the spiritual master and following the order of the spiritual master, not imitating and not concocting anything. Therefore, it is said, sadhu sastra guru vaikya chitete kariya aikya. The highest threshold of authority in our movement is sadhu sastra guru vaikya. In other words, understanding the sadhu and the shastras through the words of the spiritual master or pure devotee. Now, we're very fortunate. Imagine if there was one tape of Jesus Christ or Muhammad speaking, that would be worth millions and millions of dollars, and everyone would be very anxious to hear it. But we have thousands and thousands of tapes of Srila Prabhupada speaking, and he's genuine, pure devotee. And we have his books, we have his letters, we have his conversations. Therefore, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we can go on. Shinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. By hearing these transcendental messages given to us by Srila Prabhupada, and he has distilled the conclusions of all the great Vaishnava Acharyas, we become purified within. And by engaging in the service and regularly hearing and chanting, we become, all inauspicious things in our heart are destroyed almost to nil. Tadarajas tamo bhavo kamaloba dayasche chitayataranavitam stitvam statve prasiddhati. And by this regulated hearing and chanting and serving, the most inauspicious things of lust and anger and greed become lessened or diminished. And therefore, evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. We become freed from these things, and we become happy, and we're able to engage full-time in devotional service. Hidyate vidyata, hidyate hidaya grantis chidyante tasya sarabhani siyante tasya karmani. Therefore, that hard knot of attachment to material life, to family, to wealth, to prestige, is broken, it's cut, and we're free. This is the process of devotional service, and it all begins by appreciating devotees' association. Shraddha, it means faith, But it comes from appreciating the association of devotees and what they're doing, just like we appreciate very much what Ambarish Prabhu is doing and his team of devotees. We appreciate very much what Gopal Bhatta Prabhu is doing and his team of devotees. We appreciate everybody that's engaged in the service of Srila Prabhupada and what they're doing. That appreciation leads to a taste for sadhu sangha, and in the taste for sadhu sangha, we develop a strong desire to get initiated and strictly follow Prabhupada's instructions. And through that association, and especially accepting mentors, all unfavorable things in our life are purified one by one. This is the process of devotional service. And then we have strong faith. It's very hard to break our determination to continue in devotional service. Satatam kirtiyantamam chitantascha dhritavata namasyantascha manbhatya nitya yukta upasyate. The dhrita vrat, that strong determination to serve Srila Prabhupada, stay in the association of devotees, and continually chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Takes place. Then we develop a taste for this hearing and chanting. It becomes infectious. And then we can develop attachment to following this path. And then there's awakening of transcendental pleasure. And then, of course, we attain pure love of Krishna. So this is the process of devotional service. And there was once a man who had, a father had four sons. And he had over 10,000 crores wealth. And his will said that my four sons can choose one thing that I have in my wealth and possession. So when the will was read by the lawyer, he asked the first son, what do you want? And he was a sportsman. So he said, I want my father's hockey team or soccer team and all the advertisements and everything that goes with it. That was worth 100 crores. And the lawyer said, are you happy? Are you satisfied? He said, yes. Then he asked the second son, what do you want? And he liked sailing. So he said, I want my father's entire fleet of boats. My father had a gigantic fleet of boats and merchant marine that was worth 1,000 crores. And the lawyer said, are you happy? He said, yes. Then he asked the third son, what do you want? And he was a businessman in financial instruments. And he said, I want my father's entire investment company. That was worth 3,000 crores. The lawyer said, are you happy? He said, yes. Now, the lawyer stipulated, the father's will said, my sons can have one thing that they want the most. And after they've all decided, whatever is left will go to my servant, my personal servant. It was like his slave servant. So they asked the fourth son, what do you want? And he thought about it and he said, I want the servant. So that is what we have done in our life. We've chosen Prabhupada, who's the servant of Krishna. There's so many other things we could choose in life, sense gratification, money, prestige, and so on. But we've chosen Srila Prabhupada. And what has Prabhupada given us? Well, he started ISKCON. And what's the goal of ISKCON? It's to bring people closer to Krishna. And he started the BBT. What's the purpose of BBT? Educate people who is Krishna. And he started the BI. What is the BI? Is to convince the modern gurus, the scientists, the philosophers, and the speculators to become devotees. Speculate according to the bona fide way. So we see, by choosing Prabhupada, we've become most fortunate in our lives. In fact, it says, Janma Dasyayata, Krishna is the origin of everything. And it says that Krishna is Bhagavan. He has all opulence and beauty and fame and wealth and power and renunciation. And then it says that Krishna, aham sarvasya prabhavo, jaya shishi radha madhava ki jay, matak sarvam pavartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava saman vitaha. So Krishna says that he is the Lord of everything. Everything comes from him, material and spiritual. And somebody who knows this engages full time in his devotional service. And then Bhaktaram Yakitabhasam Sarvaloka Maheshram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Yatvamam Santim Richati. Krishna is the original beneficiary of all our sacrifices, and he's the owner of everything, and he is the best friend. Knowing this, one attains peace. Yomam Evamaj Samudo Janati Purushottama Sasarvavit Pajate Mam Sarvabhavina Bharata. So, one who knows Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is the knower of everything. And that person engages in his devotional service. And they attain supreme goal of life. So, all this knowledge defines who Krishna is. One time there was a French professor, he was an expert in Sanskrit. He came to see Srila Prabhupada, and we had given him Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and he read it. And after meeting Prabhupada, he asked him some questions, and he came out of Prabhupada's room and began to complain. He said, "Your guru has made a big mistake. He has written very biased and misleading purports to the Bhagavad Gita." He said, "Every purport he says, or he tries to skew out of the Sanskrit, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." He said, "This is not right. He has mistranslated." So we couldn't say anything because the man was a big expert in Sanskrit. So later on we told Prabhupada about what the professor said. And Prabhupada smiled and said, "Yes, he has understood my mission." Of course, in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that in every verse it is said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see. So this mission of Srila Prabhupada is not only transcendental, but it's beneficial for everyone. Iti guya tamam shastram idam uktam mayanagaha itad budva bunimam syat kritikrityascha bharata. This is the most secret part of the Vedic knowledge. And Krishna says, "I'm revealing it to you, Arjuna, because you are sinless. And anyone who understands this becomes wise. And everything they do in their life will attain perfection. Therefore, we have something that's extremely precious. But we just have to realize how valuable it is. That's why we have class. That's why we come together. But there are things that can destroy this." Krishna says, "Ishvaisham idam sarvam jatkinja jagatyam jagat tena taktena bunjitaha maagritaha kasisvidana." He is Ishvaisha. He's the owner and controller of everything. And he has set aside for every living entity their minimum needs. Knowing this, one should take only the minimum and use everything else in the service of Krishna. Kurvaneva hakarmani chijiva chek chitam savaha imam tvayi nanyateitos dinakarma lipyate nare. One who works in this way can live for hundreds, thousands of years, but they're never affected by the reactions of work. There are no reactions because they're engaged in akarma. These are very profound verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Well, there was once a bird, and the bird was a predator, and it swooped down and got a big fish out of the lake. And it started flying, but there were 1,000 crows that saw this, and they started following the bird. And the bird felt this mass of other birds following it, so it flew as high as it could, but they followed. Then it flew as low as it could, they followed. Then it flew to the right and flew to the left, and finally got exhausted and let go of the fish. When it let go of the fish, all the other crows let the bird go, and they went for the fish. Then the bird was sitting on a branch of a tree, and he was thinking, "Whew, that fish was a real problem." This is our life. As soon as we take even one paisa of what was meant for Krishna beyond our minimum needs, we get affected by the material nature. In fact, there's a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam, the seventh canto, that says, "O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished." So, Prabhupada explains that the real sickness in the heart is kaman hrit rogam, this lust, this excessive desire to own and control things and exploit them for a sense gratification is undoing us all in this material world. It says that liberation is freedom from this lust, and because it's it's only because of lust we are troubled continually in this material world. Therefore, unless we can get a higher taste, param drishtva nivartate, then this lust, we remain anchored, shackled, prisoners, and our way of seeing things is affected. Like, for example, a mother sees her child with love, with a protective eye, and with compassion, but a child molester looks at the same child differently. They see it as an object to exploit, to control. They have no care at all about the welfare of the child. So therefore, we're in this world because we don't see things correctly. The purpose of the Vedic knowledge is to teach us to see correctly. Just like it says, an educated person sees all women except his wife as his mother. He sees the wealth of others as garbage in the street. And he sees the suffering of others as if it is his own. This is an educated person. Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hastini, Suni Chaiva Swapakecha, Pandita Samadarshina. Prabhupada is trying to train us to become Pandita Samadarshina, have equal vision. So when we look at a person, we don't see the body, we see the soul. More than that, we see the soul's connection to Krishna. Then we see correctly, then we can deal with the person in a proper way, with respect, and in a way to help that person, and that person will help us become Krishna conscious. Therefore, karmajam buddhiyuktahi phalam tyatva manisana janma bandha vinir mukta patam gachantya namayam. Devotees, or people who are striving in spiritual life, rid themselves of all unnecessary things by engaging full-time in the devotional service of the Lord. It frees themselves from fruitive activities. It frees one from the cycle of birth and death, and one can attain the state that is beyond all miseries. Idam tu te guyatamam pravaksyami anasuyave gyanam vigyanam sayatam yajgatma muksyasi subhat. Krishna speaks this knowledge to Arjuna because Arjuna is anasuya. He's not envious. And this knowledge gives theoretical knowledge and practical application of that knowledge in real-life situations. And on top of all that, it frees one from all the miseries of life. Rajaguya rajaguyam pavitam idam uttamam patyakshavagamam dharmam susukam kartam avyayam. This is the most secret of all secrets, and it gives direct perception of the soul, and it's happily performed. Therefore, when a person becomes non-envious, in other words, we can't become non-envious until we understand the greatness of Krishna and how small we are. Or as Prabhupada said, Krishna mahante ham tuche. Krishna is everything and I'm less than an insignificant speck. Once that humility, through following the regulative principles and associating with devotees, happens, then we begin to understand something about Krishna. And by understanding about Krishna, this incorrect way of seeing the world, dahayato visham pumsa, sangate subhajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kama krodha vijayate. By incorrectly looking at things, we develop an attachment. And from such attachment, by thinking, feeling, and willing, comes lust and overpowering desire to own and control things. And when lust is a little bit frustrated, there's anger. And when there's anger, there's bewilderment. And from bewilderment, confusion of the memory, and then loss of intelligence, then we fall down into the whirlpool of material life. So there was once, in the Vedic history, Narada Muni, he he was born the son of Brahma, Lord Brahma, and Brahma asked him to become a Prajapati, and Narada Muni refused. And Lord Brahma became upset, and he cursed Narada to take birth as a Gandharva. And his name was Upabharana. And as a Gandharva, he was very beautiful, a very handsome person, had a nice body. He was an excellent singer and musician. But he was always troubled with lusty desires, and he always kept the association of very beautiful women. One day there was a Sankirtan party organized, and he went with the Apsaris and the other Gandharvas, and he began to sing beautifully. And he was glorifying the demigods. And the Prajapatis and other great devotees there cursed him to take birth as a Sudra. Because Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, it doesn't say Shravanam Kirtanam Devatas. It says Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. We should glorify and remember Lord Krishna always. So Kirtan is not meant for glorifying the Devatas. It's meant for glorifying Krishna. So that was one mistake he made. Second mistake was, when he was chanting, he was surrounded by very beautiful women, the Apsaris, and this was very inappropriate for him, especially in such a spiritual atmosphere. So he was cursed, and he took his birth as a son of a maidservant. Fortunately, his mother served great devotees, Bhakti Vedantas, and Narada, in the association of those great devotees, was given the opportunity of eating the remnants of their food and listening to their discussions and offering them some service. Sometimes his mother wasn't present. He would do the service. And by eating the prasad of the pure devotees, he became purified. He developed a taste for hearing the messages of the Bhaktivedantas, and he developed a strong desire to chant the holy name of the Lord and to engage in devotional service. He attained perfection simply by eating. It just shows you how powerful Mahaprasad is. And there's Maha-Maha, the prasadam that is given to a pure devotees, and then the pure devotees offer it. So he did not have any education. His mother was too poor to send him to school. Simply by associating with great devotees, he became Narada Muni. Prakasas cha karmani to samshita. Simply by engaging in the devotional service of pure devotees, one is liberated from all inauspicious things in their life, and they can develop pure Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the story of Narada is very, very important for us, because none of us are really, well, maybe some people, most of us are not great scholars in Vedic knowledge, but you don't have to be. Many of us are not great in austerity, you don't have to be. Some of us have even difficulty following the four regulative principles, which is very important, but even if you can't, as long as you accept that Prabhupada's instructions are all perfectly given and for our ultimate benefit, and don't speak against it, and just accept that it's my weakness, not anything, there's not anything wrong with what Prabhupada has given us. It's simply my weakness. Even with that consciousness, if one goes on in the association of devotees, they will be purified. In fact, one time I was with Prabhupada, and I said, Prabhupada, I'm going to open a shop, and I'm going to call it Krishna Shop. He said, no, call it Hare Krishna Shop. He said, let them say Hare Krishna once. This is for their benefit. And then he said to me, there was once a gentleman, he was walking in his village, and a wild boar ran toward him. And just as the boar ran into him, he said, Haram! He was some kind of a Muslim. Haram means untouchable. That was the last thing he said, and because of that he attained liberation, because he got the benefit of saying Hari Ram. So Prabhupada said, call it Hare Krishna Shop. Let them have the benefit of saying Hare Krishna once in their life. Now imagine if you chant every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Imagine the benefit of doing that. In fact, it said that this etam divityamananam Ichitam Akutobayam Yoginam Nirpanir Nitam Harir Ivanakampartam Namanu Kirtanam. So it says, O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So if you want auspiciousness in our life, people always say, oh, Prabhu, give me your blessing. Well, the blessing is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There was once a king, and he had a guru. Actually, he was a guru. And he taught him that all is one. And he extensively explained this to him. So after being brainwashed by the guru, he came to his wife and said, my dear Rani, he said, now I have achieved the truth in life. All is one. And because of this philosophy, now I'm going to marry many other wives. All is one. Now his wife was very upset, but she didn't know what to do. But she had a guru. So she went to the guru and said, Maharaj, this is what my husband is saying. I know it's nonsense, but it's his guru saying it. What can I do? He said, you do like this, my child. Just follow what I say. So next day she invited her husband, the guru, many of the noble people, other gurus, so many prominent people, to a big lunch to honor the guru and honor the fact that her husband had imbibed this knowledge, all is one. And she served the prasadam herself, the food herself, to everyone. And she had made a special preparation herself. It was pure gobar, cow dung. And she served it with everything else. And when people started to eat, her husband and the guru took some spoonfuls. There was matar paneer, there was raita, there was palak paneer, so many things. And then this other thing that they didn't know what it was, but they knew the wife made it, so they had to eat it. So they took a spoonful and they gagged on it, and the husband spit it out and he said, what is this? What is this you have done? And the wife came and said, Pati, I made this special preparation for you. He said, what do you mean preparation? Are you crazy? This is taldan. He said, Prabhu, he said, I have accepted your guru's instruction. All is one. What is the difference between matar paneer and kaldung? Because all is one. So he became extremely upset. He got up, the guru got up, and they walked out. The next day, the king arrested the guru and put him in jail for teaching him nonsense. And he apologized to his wife. Then the wife went back to her guru and thanked him. And she said, Maharaj, I still have a problem. He said, what is it? He said, now we know all is one is all nonsense. But what is the truth? He said, ah. He said, thank you, my child. He said, the truth is the following, and you will explain this to your husband. He said, once there was a guru, and he had many disciples. And he traveled to one village where he only had two disciples. One was a very rich man, and one was a very poor man. And both had prepared prasad for him. At least he thought so. So he wanted to go to the rich man's house, so he sent his disciples there ahead of time to discuss with him the arrangements. And when they came, the rich man was very busy with his business affairs, and it was announced to him the purpose of the visit of the disciples. And he said, I know, don't worry. They said, but they want to talk to you. So I don't have time. So he didn't talk to them. He didn't give them any respect at all. And he went on doing his business and making arrangements. He made a big, big feast for the guru. And the disciples felt very, very discouraged. And they left. And they reported back to their guru. They said, we went to him. The message was given to him, but he didn't even speak to us. He was too busy. And we felt very unhappy. And the guru said, I'm not going to his house. If he doesn't know how to respect my disciples, how will he respect me? How will he respect Krishna? So I'm not going. So they decided to go to the house of the poor man. And the poor man was really poor. He only made his money by begging. He was a Brahmin. Brahmins never work for anyone. They are independent. Otherwise, they become corrupted when they work for someone. So he would earn a little bit of money to live by begging. He was out begging, and his wife was taking a bath, and there was a knock on the door, and she said, "Who is it?" And they announced the name of the guru, and she was like overwhelmed, and she came next to the door and said, "I can't see you, I'm naked." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I only have one cloth, and it's wet. I don't want to put it on. It'd be insulting to you." He said, "Don't worry, Mata." So he had his disciples throw in his chadar, and she put that on. And she opened the door, and she bowed down. And she said, "What can I do?" He said, "I've come to have prasad in your house." He said, "Okay, please come in." So he came in. He had many, many disciples. And she gave them a place to sit, and she offered them some water. And she said, "You wait. I will come back and make a big feast." So she had no money. Her husband wasn't there. So she went to see a local grocer who was always trying to take advantage of her because she was a very beautiful woman. And she begged him, "Please give me something for my guru. I'll pay you in the way you want me to pay you." He said, "Oh, very nice." So he gave her whatever she wanted. And she went back. She cooked a big feast. Everyone was satisfied. When the husband came home, he couldn't believe his eyes. And he privately asked his wife, "Where did you get all these things?" She said, "Don't worry, I'll tell you later." So after the guru was satisfied, she explained to her husband what she did. And he said, "Don't worry." He said, I know you only had a pure desire in your heart to please Gurudev. But he said, "We must tell him. Everything we do in our life, we must have his blessing. Otherwise, it'll be a disaster." So they went and humbly submitted to him what the wife did. And the guru understood. He said, "My child," he said, "I understand you wanted to please me. And you were willing to do anything to please me. Please don't worry. Here, you take the remnants of my prasad and you give it to that businessman. And you tell him that I would like to see him." So she and her husband went to see the businessman and the grocer, and they both came in. Of course, he was a little embarrassed with the husband being there because he thought he was going to take advantage of his wife. But they both humbly submitted to him that they were very thankful for what he did. And they offered him prasad from the guru. And he was a little surprised. And they asked him, "Please take it." So he ate some of that. And when he ate it, he felt something changing in his heart. And then he looked at the husband. He looked at the pure wife. And he felt very sorry. And he said, "I'm very sorry that I'm trying to take advantage of your wife." He was speaking to the husband. He said, "All my life I've been lusty. I've never been able to control these desires. But now I'm seeing you have such a pure wife and you're such a pure person. It's affecting my heart. You please excuse me. Something has happened to me. I don't know what it is. I've never felt like this before." And the husband said, "My dear friend," he said, "why don't you come to us and see the guru? He's a wonderful person. It might help you." He said, "Okay." They went. He also bowed down in front of the guru. And the guru said, "My dear sir," he said, "you're very fortunate." He said, "Yes, I don't feel fortunate. I feel like I'm a very bad person." He said, "No. You're fortunate to be in the association of this couple. They have actually thought only of your benefit. Even though you had such nasty thoughts, they were always praying for you." And he said, Gurudev, he said, "Please, please excuse me. Please give me your mercy. Other than your mercy, there's no way I can overcome my lusty desires." In this way, the guru explained this to the wife. And she said, the only way your husband will ever become civilized is by following your example. First of all, I said, in life, it's very difficult to find a bona fide spiritual master. And the only way you can is if you are bona fide, if you are pure in heart. Therefore, chant the names of Krishna, follow the instructions of Vaishnavas, and you will eventually become pure in heart. Then you'll be able to recognize a genuine representative of Krishna. Take shelter, and under the instructions of Krishna, you will be able to understand your eternal relationship with the Lord and be free of your previous karma and engage in the service of the Lord. Yasya devi para bhakti yata devi kata tasyaite katita hiyata prakasante mahatmanaha. Only to one who has unflinching faith in the Guru and Krishna are the imports of the Vedas revealed. Therefore he said, you follow this and you will attain perfection in this life. This is what we're doing. We've chosen Prabhupada, we've chosen ISKCON, we've chosen Prabhupada's books, we've chosen Prabhupada's standards. We're most fortunate, and we've chosen each other. This is the most favorable position we could ever attain in this life. Once I heard a lecture by Prabhupada, and he said, never leave ISKCON. He said, I know there are difficulties. He said, I know this, but never leave ISKCON. He said it three times. He said, never leave ISKCON. That went into my heart, and I decided at that moment that if I ever did leave ISKCON, I would commit suicide. Fortunately, I haven't up until now. So, anyway, thank you very much. We'll stop right there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if we have much time. If there's one or two questions, we'll take it.
Hey, Viras Prabhu, thank you so much for the inspiring class. But this thing that you mentioned at the end, it struck my heart. I want to know, in some particular period of your life, you were officially out of ISKCON. Can you explain what it means, never leave ISKCON?
You can't actually fathom the thought unless one has been affected by Srila Prabhupada's words. Guru Mukha Padma Vaikya Chitita Kariyakya. So, therefore Prabhupada emphasized morning and evening program. He emphasized hearing and chanting in the association of devotees and reading his books. And he gave us so many books that it would take us many lifetimes to read them and understand them. So we don't have to read any other books. And these books contain all knowledge. Susu Soho Shradhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatseva Pra Punya Tirtha Nisevana. So Susu Soho, one must hear very, very seriously. And every time you hear Prabhupada's books, something new will strike you because it's a proportion to how much we are getting purified by chanting. Therefore, this process of self-realization never stops. It just increases because it's Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It's eternally going on. And you feel great satisfaction in your heart by this hearing and chanting. This is the reason why we have ISKCON. This is the reason we have temples. You can sit down peacefully in the morning and evening and hear about who Krishna is. And the more you understand who Krishna is, the more you become convinced, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. Because I can't have this anywhere else. Yeah, I might think I can have it somewhere else, but it's not as good as this. So, one thing is sure. From this story I told about the disciples of the Guru, One thing has to be understood. Women become mystically empowered by chastity. And women become extraordinary by being submissive and loyal to their husband, and especially loyal to Guru and their service. And men become good by having such a wonderful wife who's always encouraging them to be a devotee. If they mistreat their wife, they're making a major mistake. Just like when Kamsa tried to kill Yogamaya and she flew up in the air, he didn't see Yogamaya, he saw Durga and he became afraid. So all the gentlemen here understand this. If you treat your wife as a material object, she becomes like Durga. And you will suffer, I guarantee you. But if you treat your wife as a devotee, and a sincere devotee of Krishna, she becomes like Yogamaya. And she will take you back to Godhead by teaching you that there's no hope for material pleasure in the material world. That's her mercy. See? So, there are many lessons we have to learn. But most of all, we have to learn how to see Srila Prabhupada, and then how to see Krishna. And then, how to see ourselves, and then how to see others. When we see properly, then we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay in ISKCON and dedicate our whole life without any regrets. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a class. Really nice. I really like it. But I just wanted to ask, suppose you get like a bona fide guru and your mission in life is to please him, but sometimes he might not be there, so you don't know what pleases him, what doesn't please him. So what to do when you don't know what to do?
We always know what to do. In fact, my Latin teacher in high school said, whenever in doubt, do the right thing. So the right thing is, first guru and foremost guru is Krishna. Unless you get that straight, you can never understand Guru Tattva. Right? Krishna says, Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakti swabhidasati. Bhaktin mai param kritpa mam ivaisya samsaya. Nachatasman manusyesu bhaktin me priyakritama. Bhavita nachate tasmat bhuvi anya priyakrita. In other words, one who explains this Bhagavad Gita and the spiritual knowledge to others, that is the best thing you can do. And there's no one dearer to Krishna than that person. So, you go on chanting and hearing Bhagavad Gita and doing service in the association of devotees. That's what the original guru wants you to do. That's what Srila Prabhupada, that's what Lord Chaitanya wants you to do. That's what Srila Prabhupada wants you to do. And if you have a bona fide guru, that's what he wants you to do. You understand? So, there's no question, I don't know what to do. It originally comes from Krishna through the disciplic succession, through Prabhupada, and through the ISKCON gurus right to you. There's no doubt about what you should do. You have any doubt? Huh? Manmanabhava madbhakto.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty simple. But you know, there's situations in life, there's emotions, and there's sometimes, you know, you just don't know what to do now, you know. So what to do then?
When that confusion takes place, you sit down very tightly, and you get your beads like this, and you look at Krishna, or you look at Prabhupada, and you start, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And you don't stop until you're absolutely sure you should go on chanting, hearing, taking prasadam, associating with devotees. You don't stop. It might take an hour. It might take 10 hours. It might take 3 days. It might take a month. You just keep doing it until it clears up. Because Krishna and the entire parampara is going to bless you because you're doing the right thing. Just like I had a friend of mine. He used to be a guru. He used to be a GVC. He used to be BBT. He was all the acronyms. Right? Then he left. But we still remained very close friends. And one time I saw him, I said, Prabhu, how are you? He said, oh, I'm doing great. I said, really? Are you chanting? He said, yeah. I chant once in a year on New Year's Eve while I'm dreaming. But that one time is worth much more than what you're doing. You're doing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I don't chant like that. I'm not chanting mechanically. I chant one time in a year. Hare Krishna. So, he was, even when he was a guru, he was a very powerful speaker. So now he's not guru, but he still was a powerful speaker. So I said to him, Prabhu, I said, that's not what Prabhupada says. You should never stop chanting. Why? Because if you stop chanting, then how will you get the mercy of Krishna? Everything is in the holy name of Krishna. Even if you chant incorrectly, even if you chant with offenses, your duty is to associate with devotees who chant properly, sit next to them, and learn from them how to chant without offenses. But never stop chanting. Okay, I said, at least you chant once a year. That's better than nothing. But it's not good enough. I said, you should chant seriously. And you come stay with me. You're my friend. We'll chant together. So there are many arguments in this world, many intelligent people, they have clever things. But unless you rely on what Prabhupada said, you'll always be confused. So you're telling me you're confused. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not reading Prabhupada's books in the association of good devotees. You're like that king. He was taught, all is one. But today we learn all is one is all nonsense. And if you're confused, then simply manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaisisi satyamte pratijane priyosime. You remember Krishna, you become his devotee, you worship Krishna, you give all your homage and love to Krishna, and if you do this, you become dear to Krishna, and Krishna promises you come back to him. So don't stop. Haripo. We'll stop right there. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada.
Yeah,